every ounce of that sucked. There is really no wonderful thing, no nice thing we can say about it. From literally the first 5 seconds of the game on, just, it's not our day. It is not the Eagles' day. Welcome into Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5, the Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, out today. Couldn't take the loss. He had a fever of like 117.
His body just shut down.
Yes.
That's a big body to shut down.
So, yeah, after he tweeted out that he ate his weight in French toast, he's out. So I don't know what happened, but he's got a case of the chills, possibly the flu. So he's doing us all a favor and taking the day off. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. But if not, we'll be just fine. Sam Wilson is producing the program today. Andrew Salchunas on the updates per usual. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys.
There you go. See that? That's the hearing Sam's voice makes me feel better already. Just kidding, because I'm depressed.
Just kidding. No offense, though, just kidding.
Even though the Eagles just absolutely wet the bed yesterday, and Carson Wentz looked like he was out of rhythm throughout the entire game, they didn't get anything going till 6 minutes and 4 seconds left in the third quarter when they got an interception, got on the 2-yard line, and had one pass to Alshon Jeffery and got in. Then they had the gall to celebrate. But from the get-go of this game, let's start at the beginning. You just knew that this was going to be a snake bit type of game because the Eagles have a perfect play, a perfect start. The opening kickoff starts to get run back, and all of a sudden you have Malcolm Jenkins come in, who wanted to make a statement out of the gate, forces a fumble. They recover it, clear as anything, and then the refs say, nope, no clear recovery is seen. They go to New York, they don't see the recovery, and then the Eagles, you knew from that moment on, were going to be snake-bitten in this game. The Eagles lost this game, I think, for a couple of different reasons. One, Carson Wentz, no rhythm in the offense. Two, Sidney Jones, God bless him for trying to play hurt, but you could see on an incomplete pass down the field to Gallup that he was dragging his leg along with him. The Cowboys saw that as well. They started to exploit that, and they burned him multiple times for touchdowns with Amari Cooper. And then you had the missed point after from Jake Elliott. Just so many different things went wrong in this game, obviously. But I will say this. The referees, and I never blame the refs. I don't even like to factor them in. But when you take away a touchdown and a possession in the red zone in a close game like this that had to go to overtime, they certainly factor into this game a lot more than I usually like to credit with the refs factoring in. It was awful. It was god-awful. And it's the end of the season. For all intents and purposes, Trey, it's the end of the season.
You still have a chance. I mean, you have to win everything.
Do they really?
And Dallas has to lose.
Mathematically, I understand that they have a chance.
Yeah, it sucks.
But this team can't do it. I mean, look, I didn't pick them to win, and I get it, but that doesn't mean I wasn't rooting for them throughout the game. That doesn't mean I didn't want them to win the game. It was just so disappointing because your quarterback was supposed to step up and really get you a win. No matter what, you were supposed to out-duel Dak Prescott, and he put up a career-high 455 yards.
Yeah.
And matched his career-high in touchdowns. You know, that's only the ninth time in his career he's thrown 3 touchdowns in a game in 2.5 seasons.
But everybody was, yeah, oh, Dak sucks.
He doesn't suck. People, that's a fun narrative because he's a Cowboys quarterback. Dak. He does not suck.
No.
He's not a great quarterback by any means, but he doesn't suck.
Yeah, and I get it. You were going up against a depleted secondary. I mean, for the most part, our defense, they tried to come out there and show out. I mean, Fletcher Cox come out there, you know, what he ended up with, probably 3 or 4 sacks. One was taken away when we went into overtime, you know, just because we wanted to get the penalty yards. But that was just tough. It was tough. I mean, you knew that you were going to go out there and try to rush him, try to send some blitz his way to try to throw him off his timing a little bit. There's a lot that needs to be worked on going into whatever you're going to do. If you want to finish off this year, to just say, all right, you know what? We're going to start working on some stuff in these next couple of games just to get it in, or what you're going to have to do to get ready for next year. Because, I mean, you know, there are just some things that continue to show themselves that you got to get corrected if you want to be the dynasty that you could possibly be.
Well, it was a very popular tweet coming out of the Dallas Cowboy camp yesterday. It was a tombstone with Eagles dynasty 2017 to 2018. Like, done. Like, that's not really a dynasty. 1 year does not make a dynasty.
Yeah.
But now I'm in the camp of, all right, lose. Just lose. lose out, be done with it, move on. I'm not even ruling out benching Carson Wentz. Not even benching him. Just say, you know what, for the people that say he's not healthy and the people that say he needs rest and all that stuff, whatever. Yeah, fine. Give him that time off. Let Foles play and just go for the better pick. To heck with it. Go with the better pick and watch Foles do really well. And then the Foles people are going to be, oh, I should have been in that 3 weeks ago.
Now carry it further.
What?
Go Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah.
No,
there you go.
I'm not kidding.
No, that's fine.
Like, Nick Foles isn't going to be here next year. Like, why even risk an injury? Why do anything to him? You owe him that. If he doesn't want to play these mop-up games, okay. I'd go to him and say, like, look, we're going to rest Carson. You in? If he says, like, you know, thanks, but that's fine. Let Nate tell you that's going to be your number two. Get him some game action.
Hell no.
What are you talking about, Trey?
Hell no.
What?
No, there's too much that needs to be worked on for Carson to just say, all right, we're going to bench you. Yeah. That's almost like, you know, hey, you did a good job. Let's sit you down. No. There's too much that he needs to work on as a quarterback. If you're going to be the dynasty quarterback, you're going to be the guy that needs to lead this team. There's too much work to be done to just be sitting your ass on the sideline with a clipboard. Absolutely not. He needs to work on his timing. He needs to work on anticipating the throws. He needs to work on getting the ball out of his hands quicker. He needs to work on trying to find somebody else besides Zach Ertz. I mean, come on, it's too much work to be done for him to just sit on the sideline. And you can't get that type of work done in practice. So, all right, you have these last three games?
Yeah.
That's where we at?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's work on it.
You know the outside bench? Jason Peters. Get out there, Jordan Mailata. And that's why, by the way, I wouldn't have Nate Sudfeld play. I'd have Nick Foles play, because if he gets hurt, I don't care.
Well, let me ask you this, Trey. Do you think Carson Wentz is right?
With what?
Like, some seems to be wrong. Like, some just doesn't seem right.
Well, he doesn't anticipate the throws.
No, but I mean physically. Do you think he's all right physically, or it's impossible to tell?
To me, it seems like he's okay physically.
Okay.
You know, enough to be able to play the game, enough to say, because there's no way you would put your franchise quarterback out there if he wasn't all the way, at least good enough to be able to play the game. But my thing with him is that he's not anticipating throws. He's not anticipating throws. It's too many times he's sitting there holding the ball. You have to, the one play, and I get it, it was good coverage on tape, but when have you seen a time where the ball is already in the air and the receiver turns his head and the ball is there?
Yeah.
You never see that with him. It's always, all right, let me wait for hers. Let me wait. He waits and waits and waits until these guys are open, and it gives the secondary chances to get there. And for him to be the quarterback that we need him to be, he needs to learn how to anticipate throws and to throw his receivers open. He's not doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you're not benching him?
No, absolutely not. There's no way I bench him.
By benching, I mean just give him the rest of the year off.
No.
All right, because here's the thing.
Well, that's benching.
Well, I mean, there's like, when you say bench, it's like, well, this guy sucks. And bench him. You know what I mean? And that's not what I'm trying to do.
You go down swinging.
Well, I would hope that would be his mentality. You want every quarterback to have that type of mentality. But really, I don't understand the lack of rhythm with him. And it's funny because, you know, you look at the numbers, and I always say, of course, numbers don't lie, but they can deceive. And if you just look at the numbers from the first half, 6 of 8 throwing, right? They barely had the ball in the first half anyway, but he was 6 of 8 throwing. He had a couple of bad throws there. The first possession of the game, he overthrew Dallas Goedert on a goal route on a 2nd and 8. And then the second possession of the game for the Eagles just wasn't on the same page as Golden Tate. It was a play down the left sideline that I don't know if Tate ran the wrong route. I don't know if he just overthrew him, but it looked like they were not on the same page in the least bit. So, to me, if you want to keep him playing throughout the rest of the season, have him work on that stuff, I don't know if I can actually look at him and go, wow, he's 100% healthy and he can he should finish out the season. Because people have been telling me that he is not 100% healthy. People that have been watching
him
as well.
Who is at this point of the season?
No, I get you. I'm with you. I understand that. But not everybody is your franchise quarterback that you want to be.
Man, suck it up and make some plays. Suck it up and make some plays.
I agree, but he's not doing it.
Well, he's going to have to do it. And then there's no other way for you to be challenged like this unless you're in a game situation, because you're not going to challenge him in practice. That's why you're in this position right now, because he hasn't been challenged in practice. So now, if this is the only time that he can get this work, well, get it then. Get this work now.
Well, here's what I understand. How do you challenge a quarterback in practice nowadays?
Because you have to take away his reach. You need your secondary to play a little bit more physical. But then when you have a lot of guys that are injured and you're already playing with your second and third string guys, you know, you have to take, you have to force quarterbacks to go through their reads. And for them to do that, you need your secondary to get out there and play just the same way that the opposing team is going to play. And then when you go out there and you have a game where it's like, all right, in practice, you just wanted, you always want your quarterback to feel confident in the game plan and in the plays that's called. So 9 times out of 10, they always give them their first or second read. So, you know, you're like, all right, oh, great throw, third throw. No balls were on the ground. You hear it all the time where they're like, oh, man, we were in practice and not one ball hit the ground.
Right.
Well, that's because the secondary wasn't challenging the receivers.
And plus, the secondary that you're throwing out there, if you're the Eagles, is filled with wide receivers on the practice squad, right?
Yeah.
And that came out a few weeks ago that they're so limited that they got to throw wide receivers out there to play in the secondary.
All you need to know is 455 yards. And I know Dak Prescott threw the ball, what, 50 times in this game?
Yeah, 54 times.
That was the other thing. What the hell was that? I mean, for the game plan of, oh, yeah, make Dak beat you, that didn't work out too well.
No.
I know he threw 2 picks. I knew we had a fumble. But good Lord.
Well, what did they stop defensively?
Nothing.
They did the bend but don't break, and they did it well. They gave up 9 points after 3 quarters. That should be
the
good
defense
enough.
Is not, I don't blame the defense in this.
But that bend don't break means you're out there an awfully long time.
45 minutes.
93 plays.
93 plays. That's
93.
That's a lot of football.
Like, I say that and I get tired.
Yeah, that's right. A lot. And then, I mean, I just feel bad for Rasul Douglas, man, because, I mean, he was there.
God,
he knew what the play was coming.
Again, snake bit.
He knew the play was coming. He knew that it was going to be a slant. He was there to make the play, and, you know, the ball bounces off his hand. Boom. But then it goes back to the damn kickers.
Yeah.
How about that?
All you do is kick the damn ball.
All right.
That's all you do. All practice. That's all you do. That's all you do.
So would you have taken the points off the board?
Kick the damn ball.
No. Hold on. This is the big thing. And I'm with you.
They play little kicker games. It's BS.
I'm with you 100%.
My God, how do you miss the field goal? I'm sorry, I'm done.
No, but so they missed the PAT. Jake Elliott misses the PAT. And then later in the game, Darren Sproles gets that touchdown. There's a penalty on the next point after, following that Darren Sproles touchdown. And instead of take the point off the board and go for two, as Doug Peterson has done in the past, he elects to just keep the point on the board and take the penalty, the 15 yards, I think, at the kickoff. Yeah. Would you have gone for two in that situation?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, we were talking about the guys that I was with. Whether I would have or not doesn't make any difference. Doug Peterson usually would have.
Yes!
Like,
and Zach Berman highlights a specific instance where he did it in a win last year with the Eagles. We'll get into that. We'll also get into the reasons why they lost this. And who are you most angry with? Who do you feel is the most responsible? That is our poll question brought to you by Window Nation. Sam, go ahead, lay it out for us.
Today we asked, like you just said, who is most responsible for the Eagles' loss to the Cowboys? We already have just under 1,400 votes today. We have an almost tie, so 40% say the refs.
No!
Yes.
Come on,
39%
people.
Say Carson Wentz. 13% say Sidney Jones, and only 8% say Jake Elliott.
Oh, wow. So people aren't willing to just spare that 1 point, I guess. People aren't fighting the good fight when it comes to that. Coming up, here's what we got for you today. 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Brandon Lee Gouten of Bleeding Green Nation. We have a former NFL quarterback trying to steal our head coach, go figure. We have Doug Peterson talking about Darren Sproles' touchdown and not going for two there. And then Malcolm Jenkins had a message for the refs. If you haven't heard this yet, you just immediately turned the game off and went to live under a rock for the last, I don't know, 12 hours or so. So we'll let you hear what Malcolm Jenkins had to say after the game. That's coming up in a few regarding the NFL officials in this game here on 97.5 The Fanatic. From Bleeding Green Nation, Mr. Brandon Lee Gouten. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, I'm going to start you off with our poll question brought to you by Window Nation.
Why you sound like that, man?
Because he watched the same game we watched, and he saw how rigged the game was thanks to those officials. But, Brandon, we're talking about the officiating. We're talking about Carson Wentz, Sidney Jones. What was our other one that we have, our other option out there? Sidney Jones, Carson Wentz,
Jake Elliott.
The refs. Jake Elliott missing a point after. Brandon, why did they lose this game?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why they lost this game yesterday. But to me, I mean, I can't get over the first play of the game. I just couldn't. And in watching the game, after seeing a play where Malcolm Jenkins clearly knocks the ball out of Jordan Lewis's hands, and then Kamu Grugier-Hill, and what I feel like clearly recovers it, I mean, I see a video, I see pictures of it, with him on the ground holding the ball in a pile of four Eagles players with no Cowboys players around, and then emerges from that pile to give the ball to the referee. I mean, the Eagles had that ball, and for some reason, they were not awarded that ball. And instead of the Eagles having the ball at the Cowboys' 18-yard line, where they probably would have at least had a field goal, very high chance, and maybe even a touchdown in a game that was must win and really could have set the tone, you know, for an Eagles offense that really struggles to score in the first quarter, that would have been a huge deal. I couldn't not focus on that play after the Eagles didn't get the ball for pretty much like the rest of the first half. That's all I could think about.
Brandon, I think we're all with you. There are different points in the game where you would just think back to that play and go, what the hell? Like, that didn't really happen, did it? And not only did it happen, but it was explained in such a way that didn't make any sense because we all watched what the ref said they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And then he goes over to Doug Peterson to try to explain it. Were you at all surprised that Doug just didn't go completely bonkers in that scenario?
That's a scenario for him to do that, exactly. And I mean, look, you know, Malcolm Jenkins knows he's getting fined for the comments he made after that game yesterday. You're not allowed to just rip the refs like that and get away with it from the league. But to me, I mean, I think he knew it was worth it because it was a ridiculous call. He called it terrible. He said the people in New York have to stay off the bottle. It was a crazy call. I mean, you're just, it's a basic fact. It's like saying, like, the sky is green. It's like, it's just not. Like, I don't know. It's not, there's no room for debate here. We're just debating facts, and once we're at that point, it's pretty sad.
Just to wrap up the refereeing questions here, because I definitely want to move on to some of the Eagles' problems other than just the officiating. The Dallas Goedert offensive pass interference, also bogus?
That was also bogus. I mean, I think everyone saw that. Ultimately, I think it's a little less frustrating in the sense of the Eagles ultimately go on to score a touchdown on that drive, so not to say it makes the call any less wrong, but, you know, I think the impact certainly wasn't as bad as that opening play. But, I mean, it kind of just, you know, the frustration continues there. I mean, that's two huge plays in that game, which are really decided by the refs and not the players. And that's bad for the fans. I mean, you want to watch your teams go out and have the game be decided by them. You don't want to feel like you're getting screwed, especially on the first play from the jump where it kind of sets the tone for the whole game. So that's just really disappointing.
Brandon, what's more of a concern for you moving forward, Sidney Jones or Carson Wentz? And I say that because both are coming off injuries. Both may be playing a little bit injured this year, but both are going to be needed by this team, it looks like. Who's the bigger concern for you?
I think it has to be Carson, just in terms of the magnitude of the position. I think ultimately, I'm not really panicking about Carson Wentz. He's, you know, today is obviously a year to the day of his ACL/LCL injury against the Rams. So he's just hitting that 1 year removed mark from that injury. I think you can, you know, go into this offseason, kind of make some changes, maybe with the coaching staff offensively, and maybe upgrade some of your skill positions. And so I think there's certainly reason to believe that he can still be a special player. I mean, we saw what he was capable of in 2017. You give him a full offseason to actually practice and work with his team in training camp, which he didn't, which, by the way, I remember Trey saying was a big concern heading into the season, that, you know, Carson wasn't going to have all that time. So I think we're kind of seeing that. And I think ultimately he'll be okay. But I mean, if he's not, that's a huge problem. So I think that's ultimately the bigger concern. But I think there's reason to believe he can bounce back.
Now, would you allow him to finish out the season?
I would. Yeah. I think there's you know, value in still having him try to finish the season strong. I mean, maybe by week 17, I'm feeling a little different. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, because you don't want to risk him injury at the point where it's just meaningless. But I mean, for now, they're still technically alive, so I don't think you can pull him. You can bench him. I think you need to show that you still have that confidence in him. Mm-hmm. I don't think the message is to send that, you know, we don't really believe in you anymore. So it's still his job for now, for sure.
Speaking with Brandon Lee Gowden of Bleeding Green Nation, what about the secondary? Where do they go from here? It just seems like guys are dropping left and right. Sidney Jones, another hamstring issue last night. It just seems like they just can't get a break.
Yeah, I mean, they're just depleted. I mean, when you're down to Devontae Bosby, I mean, that's basically like their 11th quarterback option to this point. Like, what, you know, how really disappointed can you even be in this defense when you account for the situation? I mean, they give up 23 points in regulation. I mean, if you told me that going into the game yesterday, like if that's a deal I could sign up for, I would sign up for that deal. I think that's a pretty reasonable mark for this defense to give up when they're playing like these guys who are, not only are they playing backups, but they're playing backups who are hurt because they have to, because they don't really have another choice. And they forced a couple of turnovers. And I know they allowed a lot of yards, but I mean, overall, 23 points isn't really the worst thing for this defense with all the things they had going on. And you consider they played almost 100 snaps. I mean, that's crazy. That's like unheard of for them to be out on the field the entire game, basically, because the offense couldn't sustain drives, especially early. Like, I kind of give them a little bit of a pass in that sense when you consider all the circumstance in there. So, it's tough. I mean, you're missing Ronald Darby, you're missing Jalen Mills, you're missing, Rodney McLeod. That's three quarters of your secondary right there. And you're playing with backups and the guys are hurt. I mean, it's just, what can you really do?
Brandon, on the offensive side of the ball, Dallas Goedert, Golden Tate, Josh Adams, why is it so hard for them to include them in the offense, and whose fault is it?
I think it's hard because the coaching isn't great. I mean, it comes down to that. You know, Mike Rowe, a couple of weeks ago, is up here at the podium saying it's challenging to incorporate them, or specifically Golden Tate, into the offense. And to me, that just says, you know, he's really not that great at his job, because if it was, I think it'd be easier. I mean, these are really, I mean, you look in the case of Goddard, anytime he's targeted, he's produced. He was super productive yesterday. He caught four of his five targets, 44 yards and touchdown, would have had even more if that offensive pass interference penalty wasn't called. So some of the decisions there were just really baffling. I mean, you had Wendell Smallwood, who hadn't even played, or he hadn't even received a single offensive touch in the last two games, in for a big red zone series early in the fourth quarter when the Eagles were down 9-6. Like, why is that happening? I don't get it. The personnel is confusing. I mean, I think ultimately it falls on Doug Peterson. It's his offense. He calls the plays. But, I mean, you're not going to start by firing the head coach who just won the Super Bowl. I think you need to start with the coordinators, Mike Rowe, and I think that's the place to start and see if you can kind of upgrade there.
Looking at the offensive side of the ball, Bob pointed out here, we've been talking about Josh Adams gets a 24-yard run on a 1st and 10 at the Eagles' 30-yard line. Biggest play of the game for the Eagles at that point, obviously. And then doesn't touch the ball to the third quarter. Can you attempt to make sense of that, Brandon?
I think they only had two carries in between there. I think one was to Corey Clement, who got hurt, obviously, and then Darren Sproles. But, yeah, I mean, so he has three carries for 30 yards on the first drive. You feel good about that. You know, he's looking, he's really running well. I think he was breaking through some tackles, the way he cut back on that big run, which was really encouraging to see, even though the blocking wasn't there for him at first. So again, yeah, I mean, he's productive early in the game, and for some reason they feel the need to get away from him. And at one point you even put Wendell Smallwood in over him, which just, it makes no sense at all. I feel like definitely Adams didn't get enough touches. When you look at this one, he only finished with 7 in total.
Do you see any coaching changes being made?
I just can't at this point. I have a hard time believing they cannot make coaching changes in the sense of, you know, not Doug obviously, but I think at the coordinator level with Mike Grove, you look at the Eagles offense. I mean, they've scored 28 points this year in the first quarter. That's pathetic. It's the bottom of the league. There's clearly something wrong with how they're going into games. And I think that, you know, to some level, I think the players deserve blame too. Don't get me wrong. They're clearly not executing. But I don't think you can be worse than the league like that if you're having truly great coaching. So, the thing that really frustrates me with how the Eagles handled some of these internal promotions this offseason is that, you know, you think back to 2016 and there was all this hype and the Eagles made a big selling point that, look, you know, we brought in Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, all former quarterbacks. guys with great track records, guys who are probably the best, or, you know, or have a lot of accomplishments, or guys who are really respected around the league. And, you know, all of a sudden they lose two of those guys in one off season, and there's really no big effort to replace them with necessarily the best candidates. So it was like, okay, those guys are gone. Now let's just automatically promote who we have in house. And I just think that's a little lazy, to be honest.
All right, Brandon, last one for you. I don't want to break any news, but Doug Peterson could be headed out. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there's some speculation he could be headed to Green Bay.
Well, where is this from?
It's from NFL reporter Brett Favre. Brett Favre did an interview with TMZ, and he was asked about the different candidates he would have take over for the fired Mike McCarthy. Here's what Brett Favre had to say.
Darrell Bevell, who Aaron knows well. Brian Daboll, who was at Alabama last year as offense coordinator, was my quarterback coach for the Jets. And another that comes to mind is Doug Peterson. Now, you know, I don't know if they can, you know, get him from Philly or if he would even consider that. But there's another young guy who is very creative and has proven that he can win the big.
Brandon, your thoughts? that sums it up.
I definitely think the Eagles are not going to fire the first who won the Super Bowl 1 year after. I'm sure the Packers might have some interest in him, and I'm sure Brett Favre is obviously going to talk up his old buddy. And,
sure.
You know, that's the right thing to do as a good friend. But, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Brandon Lee Gowton, Bleeding Green Nation. Always great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so we did some research. Dak Prescott not even in the top five MVP voting now 3 seasons ago as rookie year. Well, he won rookie of the year. Here's what's weird. Ezekiel Elliott finished fifth.
Ahead of him. Yeah.
Yeah, finished fifth. It was Brady. Excuse me.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott. Our boy Carson Wentz would have been second. What do you think of that?
Would have been second last year?
Yeah.
Oh.
How about that? Huh? See Dak do that. Not quite yet. Jay, Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay? Yo, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Great. Wanted to talk about Carson. To me, man, it just looks like he's not getting it right now. Mentally, that injury, it's affecting him. I think the offseason, man, it's a QB's best friend. I mean, a player. Just anybody. He needs those full OTAs, participation. He needs it, man. It's gelling with the receivers, chemistry. It's crazy, man. He needs it. I'm telling you, he needs it.
Well,
man.
If he needs anything, he needs, I guess, preseason play, because that's really all he missed out on. I mean, he missed out on live drills at practice during training camp. They didn't tackle him or anything like that. The minute bodies started falling down at his feet, they actually put him on the sidelines. So there's a number of things that he might have missed out on, but the number one thing was actually game time. But he came into the season in week 3, and I didn't see a guy that looked like he was shy or bashful or anything like that.
No, man. It just looks like it's affecting him some type of way, man. He needs a little bit more rest. Needs to get with his guys, get the chemistry with those receivers off season, go somewhere. I mean, and just let it loose, man.
Go back to North Dakota, throw the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, go somewhere, let it loose, man.
Because that is something that you do miss out on when you're coming back off of a surgery, what he usually would do during the off season, have all the receivers come out, and he has his little workout time with them so he can build that chemistry. And, you know, because I remember they did that the year before, and they all went out and dug up somebody's golf course out there, you know, just to have that time where they can spend that time together and work on that chemistry. But, you know, you couldn't have that with them coming back off of surgery.
I do have to tell you, this 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Tyreek in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tyreek?
What's up, man?
Yo.
I want to touch on two topics, man, really quick. Number one, I feel like y'all might have to start screening these calls, because most of the people that's calling sound like they never play organized sports a day in their life. I want to talk about the effect of momentum, man. Like, you got to understand, for the first play of the game to come out and force that fumble and for the rest to make that horrible call, that could suck the air out of a team right there, man. Like, that's enough to changed the whole game. Who says the game could have been completely different? We get the right nod on that call, recover that fumble, and score 7 or 3. That changed the whole dynamic of the game. I don't care how you slice the pie.
Sure.
That first play changes everything. Number two, everybody keeps talking about Carson. It's a given. We're not the same team as last year. He's not explosive as he has been in the previous year. But, you know, it's a team thing to me. You know what I'm saying? Our team is not the same. We banged up. Our secondary is crappy right now. And it make it 10 times harder when you're playing against the Rush, man. Like, you just got to be completely honest. Like, we played against the Cowboys and the Rush yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was bad. And the Cowboys, what they did yesterday to the Eagles in terms of being able to get those big plays and those big runs by Ezekiel Elliott, being able to hold on to the football, being able to keep possession, to have the football for 45 minutes and then run 99 plays against the Eagles. I mean, at some point, if you're calling plays for the Eagles offense, if you're Doug Peterson, how are you not running the ball more? How are you not noticing that your team in the second quarter had the ball 3 minutes? And you mean to tell me with your now number one back, Josh Adams, being down Corey Clement already, he only gets 4 carries in the second half in total, 3 in the first? That's a joke. And especially the gap between the first quarter and the third quarter between Josh Adams not getting a carry. Right. You mean to tell me the last time you're going to give him the football, he gets you 24 yards, and then you don't see him for how many, what, 27 minutes, Bob?
27 minutes and 1 second.
It's a joke. Mike is actually in Texas. I'm worried about taking this call. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Great, y'all.
Hey,
I don't like the laugh.
I don't like that laugh either.
I don't like y'all, and I don't like the laugh.
Mike, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Hey, so I know you guys, Philly fans, obviously big Dallas fan, but I had a bet with a guy from Philly that was on Survivor, that TV show Survivor.
I'm aware of the show. What was the bet?
The bet was if either team sweeps, the other person has to fly, buy tickets, and dress up like a Philly or Dallas fan and be a fan for the day. Now, this guy, Jervis Peterson, is a hardcore Eagles fan.
Yes, I know Jervis, yeah.
Jervis now has to fly down here next year, and I will make sure that I get you guys pictures.
Please do.
Of him in Cowboys attire.
Please do. Now, that sounds good enough. I think you know where to find us, but got to put a bow on this. And first off, I got to tell you about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. The Deal of the Week. This week only, get one peak day ticket to Blue Mountain Resort, valid during the 2018-2019 season for just $40. Blue Mountain is the home of Pennsylvania's highest vertical, the most varied terrain, and some of the longest runs in Pennsylvania. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Hurry, this holiday deal is only available for purchase now through Sunday or while supplies last. All right, let's get our final poll question update by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do you got?
Today we asked, who is the most responsible for the Eagles' loss to the Cowboys? We had over 7,000 votes today and definitely a couple hundred comments saying that we should have added coaching, by the way.
Coaching, okay.
Yes. But so our leading answer was the refs at 41%.
Oh, my goodness, no!
Not far behind at 39% was Carson Wentz.
Oh, my goodness.
12% was Sidney Jones. And then Jake Elliott finishing it off with 8%.
Wow. People all over. The referees in this one, first and foremost, that's what they're blaming. That's unfortunate. Now we got our takeaways of the day brought to you by Schwartz Colleton. Get the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE for Schwartz Colleton. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is I'm actually proud of Eagles fans right now because they're disappointed and they should be, but they're not absolutely ridiculous like I was expecting. That's my takeaway of the day. Right. I'm proud of
it's
you guys.
Not as bad as you thought, maybe?
Yeah.
All right, good enough. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is I want to say hi to Mr. Tom Flynn, who on Twitter said to me, "Nah, dummy, let's trade you out of Philly." Something bad with that dumb ass talk. Yeah, man, let's trade a franchise player. My God, you're dumber than you look.
That's nice. That's nice.
Dumber than I look? Do I look dumb?
It's radio. He can't see you.
Wow, good point. But anyway, Tom Flynn, I appreciate you reaching out.
That's nice. See, yeah, fan interaction. Engaging. Trey Thomas, take it with it.
The refs not only affected the game, they affected our brother Jamie. This game was just too much.
That's true.
His body just shut down.
Yeah.
And now he's just having just a little chicken noodle soup to kind of get a little bit better. I hope he'll be okay tomorrow.
We are unforgiving.
Yes, we are.
We are unforgiving, no doubt about that. My takeaway of the day is that the Philadelphia fan, God bless them, they came out today. Apathy does not settle in. And the fact that this team is all but eliminated from the playoffs, apathy, not a thing here. Stay tuned for Gargano, Martinez Middays here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.